Faith that holds the line is forged in the finished work of Christ. Jesus already did everything that needs to be done for your faith to be strong. We've been talking through Ephesians chapter 6, how God wants us to prepare for the spiritual battle that we're in. I'm just going to tell you right now, as your pastor, I've been under a big spiritual battle over the past couple weeks. I'm telling you, unloading and loading that trailer, I'm like, this is an attack from the devil. Spiritual battle. Having tech problems, you have us like, man, what is going on here? We have to push through. We're in a spiritual battle. And as we know we're in a spiritual battle, we need to be dressed for it. And the Bible's clear about that. And let me remind you what we've learned so far over the past few weeks, just in case you're a guest this morning and you haven't been with us the last few weeks. Ephesians chapter 6 says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not my power, it's God's power. And put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Devil scheming, trying to attack and destroy God's church and our lives. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces in heavenly realms. It's not the person sitting next to you, it's the enemy. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, what should we do? Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. How many know that the first place we need to start in life is truth? We need truth, not lies. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place, not my righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from Christ, and with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We are peace proclaimers. We tell people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because only through Jesus Christ can you have peace with God. In addition to all these, take up the shield of faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
The shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. Now, I haven't seen anybody carrying a shield around lately, so it's kind of maybe a new thing for us because we carry our cell phones, and sometimes we use our cell phones as a social shield. Like, don't talk to me, I'm on my cell phone. But back then, they carried this. The Roman soldiers carried a massive shield as big as a door. And it covered the whole body, and it was overlaid with animal skin. The edges were forged with bronze, and it was doused in water so that it couldn't light on fire. It was a massive thing to actually carry this shield around. It would have been an unthinkable thing for a soldier to head out into battle without his shield. Everybody else would be like, what are you doing right now? Why are you going to war without your shield? That's ridiculous. Because they were trained with it. It was like part of their body. It became part of who they were as fighting men, as fighting people. They had to have that shield. And the shield covered every other piece of armor. I want you to pay attention to that. The shield covered every other piece of armor. It protected all of the other things. It was the first line of defense. And our shield of faith covers every single piece of armor in our life. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet that are shod with the preparation of peace, the helmet, the sword. Everything's covered by that shield of faith. It is vitally important. And if we're going to dress for battle, we must have the shield of faith. I think it's funny how we've become so, I'm going to use the word addicted because I think it's appropriate, addicted to our cell phones. Okay, you got it. I have to grab my cell phone. I catch myself with this. To get my cell phone, if I'm leaving the bedroom and going to the living room, I better get myself. Anybody else? Don't lie. It's God's house, not Regal. And we, you know, maybe that's you, not even just with your cell phone, maybe that's you with your giant water bottle. You notice in the past, you know, handful of years how thirsty America has become? Like, oh, we've just been so dehydrated. Like, you come to church for a one-hour service, and you got to bring a 64-ounce water bottle. I might get thirsty during the pastor's sermon. I don't know. And we have these things that we take with us everywhere. Like, I'm not going to leave home without it. But oftentimes, we forget about our shield of faith. We forget that we must take it with us into battle every single day. And as we do that, as we take that shield of faith, what I want you to know, and we learn about faith today, is this. Faith holds the line. Faith holds the line. Because when you're in war, when you're in battle, you have your other members of the military fighting alongside you, and you need to hold that line. And that shield of faith holds the line. Not only in your life personally, but in the church as well. People often think that once you put your faith in God, once you believe upon Jesus, nothing bad will ever happen to you. My life should go perfectly. And when something bad goes wrong, God's the problem. And we have that problem with our faith. We think that when we come to Christ, every problem and every circumstance, every crisis will just float away. My life should be perfect. But that's not what faith represents. You see, the truth is, when you're under attack, faith doesn't remove you from the battle. It keeps you standing in it. Because you're in the battle. It's not coming one day in the future. It's right now. We're in the battle. And so we recognize that when it comes to our faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you've said, or you've heard someone say something along this lines, I can't believe God did this. I can't believe God would let this happen. I heard a story this past week of a family who lost their 16-year-old daughter, and another guy was talking to them, so I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to help you. And they said, well, we don't believe in him anymore. And oftentimes we get into these situations where we feel like, oh man, a bad thing happened. Now it's God's fault. But we forget we're in a war. We're in a spiritual battle, and we need to keep the faith. We need to have faith that holds the line. You see, faith is the shield that keeps you holding the line when the arrows keep flying. You ever have just seasons in life where you just feel like, man, the arrows just keep coming? And we have to have that faith. And so the question we're going to ask this morning is this. How do we hold up our shield of faith? How do we hold it up on a daily basis? How do we hold it up not only for ourselves, but for other people to see as well? Sometimes, you know, when you think of those soldiers holding that giant shield, you would think, man, at some point their arm probably got pretty tired. That's a massive piece of wood, and it was soaked in water. That would have been very heavy. But over time, their arms got to be strong, and they became so used to wielding it, it became second nature to them. But I recognize that sometimes in our life, we get into situations and circumstances where, man, my faith feels tired. I feel like I've just got too many things going on. Too many things are bombarding me. Too many things are hurting me. Too many arrows are coming my way. I just feel like I can't drag the shield anymore. I can't do it. And I think we've all been there to some extent. We've all been there at some point in our life. Maybe you're there this morning. It's easy to drop the shield. It's easy to get to the point where, man, I just don't want to, it's just easy for me to quit and give up. But I want to remind you this morning that the strength of your shield isn't determined by the size of your faith, but by the object of your faith. It's who you have faith in. It's who you have faith in. Oftentimes we compare ourselves to other people's faith. Well, I don't have as much faith as you. Man, they're really spiritual. I don't have as much faith as them. But the truth is, it's not the size of our faith. It's not the acts of our faith, so to speak, but it's the person in whom we have faith in. One day, Jesus was coming down to reconnect with the disciples, and he was coming down the mountain, and a man approached him. He said, Jesus, please pray for my child. He keeps having these seizures. I asked your disciples to turn the lights on, and they just couldn't do it. And Jesus said, You of little faith. And it goes on in verse 19. The story goes like this. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, oh, Jesus prayed for the boy, and he got healed. He cast out the demon. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. It's interesting that he said they have little faith, because watch what he says next. He says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Because Jesus wasn't talking to them just about the act of prayer. He wasn't saying, hey, you didn't say the right formula in prayer. You didn't do the right motions. You didn't attend the right church. He says, I want to remind you that if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed in the right place, because remember, a seed always has to be planted in the right soil. And faith as a mustard seed has to be planted in Christ Jesus. See, faith that holds the line has confident trust in the character, promises, and power of God, not in my effort. My effort doesn't cut it. I have faith in the person of Jesus Christ, in God our Heavenly Father. That's where my faith becomes strong, not in my effort. If you believe in God today, if you trust in Him, that means you have faith. And it might be small as a mustard seed, but Jesus said that's powerful faith. That's mountain-moving faith. You see, when you hold the line of faith, it's pleasing to God. Anybody here ever wanted to please God? Man, if I serve Infusion Kids, it will be pleasing to God. Yes, it would. If I do this, then it'll be pleasing to God. Well, there are things in life that God looks down and blesses us for, things that are right in His sight. But the real thing that pleases God is our faith. Hebrews 11 says this. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. That's why when we get in this mindset, we think, well, I need to get my life together first, and then I'll do something for God. That's not how it works. Getting your life together first doesn't please God. What pleases God first is faith. He says, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What is that? That's faith. I believe in God. Remember, it's the person. It's not the act. It's the person, not my effort. It's not my effort. Faith that holds the line is forged in the finished work of Christ. Jesus already did everything that needs to be done for your faith to be strong. Think of that. He already did everything that needs to be done for your faith to be strong. Small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, what's your mountain? What's your mountain? I'm telling you, moving from a building to this theater has been a mountain. Several mountains. But sometimes you got to climb that mountain in faith. You say, okay, get out of my way, because I got things for God to do. And I have faith in Christ Jesus that He's going to build the house. He's going to build the church. And we trust in Him, not our effort. When we've done all we can do, the Bible says we stand and we wait for God to move because of our faith. My faith is based on who Jesus is, not my circumstances. That's pleasing to God. That's pleasing to God. And if we're going to hold the line against the enemy, I want you to think of this, especially with everything we've got going on in the church. You need to share your shield. You need to share your shield. One of the big reasons why I won't let you have popcorn in here is because many of you won't share it. And I know the truth. The other day, my brother was in town. He flew in from Texas, very kind of him, to come and help the church move. And he worked for days with me and a bunch of you that were there to help move out of the building. And he was a great help. And so one night we picked up Mexican food, and we on our way home, I said, hey, I'm going to stop and I'm going to get my beautiful wife a cookie from Crumble Cookie Cookies, which is from the Lord. And we went stopped by there and got some cookies, and I bought one for him and for me and for, of course, my daughter-in-law, who's expecting our grandson very soon. And we're excited about that. So we went there, and I ate a few bites of a cookie, and he ate a few bites of his cookie. And then my brother and I got up the next morning, and we went, and we're moving the church. It's Monday. We're moving the church. And the whole damn thing, when I get home, I'm going to have some of my cookie. And when I get home, there's no cookie. We're under a spiritual battle. This is a real war. It's a fight. And there's no cookie. There's only a couple little slices. And I'm in the kitchen looking at this mortified. I'm like, who ate my cookie? And they all lied to me. I didn't do it. Somebody had the audacity to say, maybe it was the dog. It's so ridiculous because the cookies were cut perfectly in two small triangles. And I'm like, well, either I've got the smartest dog in the whole world. And so bitterly, I ate what little bite of my cookie was left. I did not want to share my cookie. Here's the truth. Sometimes we get that way when it comes to our faith. When it comes to our faith. I think we can all agree, if you've been in church at all, or just around people, we're often better at sharing gossip and slander than we are our faith. We're better at sharing discouragement than we are encouragement sometimes. But we need to share our shield of faith. Because sharing your faith isn't isolated just to telling people about Jesus. It's about sharing your shield. You're not the only one who's under attack. You're not the only one who's going through it. Somebody else is as well. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to devour. Those weak and those who are just giving up and quitting. He says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Faith in God. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. You know what that means? We're all in the fight together. We've all got the issue together. We're all having this battle against our faith, and we need to share the shield. You see, faith is personal, but it's never meant to be isolated. It's not just your faith. It's meant to be shared. It's often used, talking about the shield of faith, is the maneuver that the Roman soldiers would have called the tortoise. And what they would do is they would interlock their shields together, and they would cover the sides, and they would cover the top and the front, and they would move as basically like a tortoise shell up into the battle. And they, by doing that, they would protect each other from the flaming arrows and javelins and darts from the enemy. And it wasn't just, their shield of faith wasn't just meant to protect them. It was to protect the unit, the army. And that goes with our shield of faith as well. It doesn't just protect you. It protects the fellow soldiers. It also helps us to push the enemy back. And this was all done in unison. Faith is personal, but it's not meant to be isolated. It's meant to be shared. For another soldier to negligently leave a fellow soldier unprotected was unthinkable. If a soldier fell, another soldier would use his shield to cover him until he could get back up or get help. And they would move as a unit, and they would begin to have victory because they fought the fight together. It was their duty and their honor to protect those that were fighting beside them. We need to recognize, as God's people, if you believe in Jesus, you are not in the fight alone. God wants you to use your shield of faith to encourage and lift someone else up, to help protect those who are weak, someone else that's under attack, and encourage and protect them. Share your shield. That's what God's called us to do. You see, and when we live our life, we recognize that, Satan accuses us and accuses someone else. We recognize that faith reminds us that Jesus redeemed us. When Satan condemns us, faith reminds us that, Jesus forgives us. When Satan tempts us, faith reminds us that no temptation has the power over our lives, because we have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. My question to you this morning is this: who are you sharing your shield with? Who are you helping to protect? Who are you standing alongside? This is why the house of God, church, is so important, because when we get together, we're actually sharing our shield. When we worship together, we're sharing our shield. Your faith is encouraging someone else. When you lift your hands in worship, it's encouraging someone else to engage in worship. When you pray for someone, it encourages someone else who's struggling. When you have verbal affirmation, encourage someone to say, hey, you can do it. Don't worry. Don't give in to the enemy. That lifts them up. You're sharing your shield. And our faith is stronger when we're together. And we're reminded of Romans chapter 8, when it talks about our faith and it talks about the love of God and his love for us. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For a lot of people it does, because they quit on their faith. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. We don't just win by the skin of our teeth. No, we have overwhelming victory in Jesus Christ, because we have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that. And we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, because that's where our shield becomes strong. What's your faith like today? Who are you sharing your shield with? Have you left it at home? Do you only bring your shield on Sunday? Or is an ever-present help to you in your time of need? When you get down, you say, no, I don't believe those lies that the enemy is throwing at me. I'm going to put my trust in Christ. When no other doors open, you say, God, I believe still, according to your word, that you are going to make a way when there seems to be no way. When all else seems to fail and nothing seems to work, I stand and I rest on the promises of God, that he has a plan and purpose for my life. Why? Because that's where my faith remains strong. The shield of faith is what we need to be dressed for battle. What's interesting about the shields back then and for generations was that on the very front they would have a crest on it. And that crest represented which army they belonged to. Your shield has a crest on it that marks you as a member of the army of the living God. And that's where faith makes us participants in what God's doing. And we recognize, as all the men and women before us who had bold faith did amazing things, it encourages us that we can stand through tough times, through uncertain circumstances, through doubtful future plans, that God still is going to work out his good purpose, and I'm going to have faith in that. Amen. The Bible reminds us of those things in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, everyone say faith.
Faith
conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment and lights that turn off while you preach. They were not put to death. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what was promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And that is through Christ Jesus. The shield of faith. It is absolutely essential for every believer wherever God sends us. What's your faith in today? Is it in Christ? Is it in your effort? I want you to put it in Christ today.